that there are five parts to the Shulchanot. The second part is the Orachaim. The third part is the Yoredeya. The fourth part is the Choshen Mishpot. And the fifth part is the Heaven of Israel. And that is something you've always got to remember.
The Heaven of Israel is
the fifth part. Deals with women. Right.
Wait, I don't know what that could answer the question. So what's the first part?
The first part is intelligence. Seichel.
Where do we get lessons on that one?
You've got to have Seichel. Some people say it's the fifth Shulchanor if it's not right. That's a mistake. That's the first one. That's the first one. You've got to have Seichel. Because if you haven't got Seichel, if you're not intelligent, you make a mess of everything. Please tell me as soon as there's a minion for Winter, will you? Right, have you got the play for it? Why didn't you do the school? Have you got the wrong one yet? There are three whom the Rebbeinu Shel Olam hates. Hamadaber echod befeve echod belein, who says one thing and thinks another thing. Vayodeya edus bechaveru ve'enu meid lev, and a person who's got he can help a man by giving evidence, and he refuses to give evidence. And the person who sees a dover erbo bechaveru, he sees that another one went to visit a harlot. That's what they call them, yeah. He went to the house of a harlot. Not a nice thing. So, and what does he do? He goes and gives evidence. Goes to the Beit Din and he gives evidence. That person, he's not believed. He's one witness, so he's not believed. So what did you achieve? It's Motzi Shem Ra. What do you achieve by it? So he ordered Tuvya Choto. There was a certain man who was Tuvya, and he went to a bad place, and Zigud saw him. But also Zigud lechudeva ati bekamet rapopo, and Zigud saw him alone, and he came and gave evidence before rapopo. Maurice, have you got the place?
I'm sorry.
It's Kuf Yud Gimel, Maurice. I'm just going back. Have you got the place?
Yeah.
And he gave evidence before rapopo. Nagdei leZigud. So Rav Popo gave Zigud Malkus. Now I just want to explain to you what that Malkus is. Malkus is he gave him Malkus.
Lashes.
Lashes, 39. But there are two kinds of lashes. There's lashes Midoraisa, that the Torah demands that he get lashes, and there are lashes Midrabonon. From the Torah he doesn't get lashes, but the Rabbonon insists that he give him lashes. You follow?
The Rabbanon are less stringent about it than the Torah?
No, probably not.
Why do you say this?
Well, there's only one witness.
The other day, Zigud with Tuvia. They gave Zigud for coming to give
I'm sorry.
They gave Zigud the mark.
You can still ask it.
So, for example, the way we are Mikadish a lady is she's given a ring, and the chosen says, "Hare at mekudeshes libe debar zukedas meset Yisrael." There are some. That's the way a gentleman is mekadesh a lady. There are some men who are mekadesh a woman another way, with bios. It's a good kinyan. If there's anything wrong with the kinyan, it's too good a kinyan. So it's a kinyan. It is. But Rav used to order Malkus Drabonon for anybody who did that. Get Malkus for it. Married you are. It's a good king here. But Malkus you get. That's not the way a gentleman does it with a lady. You're not a gentleman, she's not a lady. A man does it with a woman, you get Malkus for it. So that is Malkus Drabonon, you see. It's, yes? Just to finish this, Glenn. So what is Nagdele Zigut? So he gave Malkus to Zigut. Omar Lei, so Zigut said to Rav Popa, to your hot of a Zigo Mingat, to your does the wrong, and Zigut gets the Malkus. You should have done it there anyway. Omar Lei, in, said Rav Popa to him, yes. Deceived because it is written in the Torah. Lo Yokum Eid Echot Bo Ish. A one man cannot give evidence against a person. The atlechu doch as hadit bay, and you alone gave evidence against him. Shame rabba alma kom mafkid bay. All you succeeded in doing is giving him a bad name. You brought out against him, like hutsi. You brought out against him a bit. You brought out into the open understood. You brought out against him a bad name. Have you got it?
Yes.
Omar Rabbi Shmuel Barav Yitzchok. Omar Rav said Rav Shmuel Barav Yitzchok in the name of Rav Muter Lesano says. He says, but the person is not allowed to give evidence, but he's permitted to hate him. Because he's done something wrong. He's a Rosho. He's permitted to hate
him. To hate him?
Yes.
Wait, who can hate who? Zigut is hating the guy, right?
Well, Zigut can't hate him now because he did such a bad thing.
But
he did something worse than possibly worse than the other person did. But now, let us say, in an ordinary case where one person sees another person doing wrong, he won't say anything about it because it's mostly Shemra. So, and he can't do anything about it because he's not believed, so he does the clever thing and the wise thing and the correct thing. He keeps quiet, he doesn't say anything about it, but he's permitted to hate.
You mean hate, or do you mean dislike?
I mean hate.
What's
do you dislike Hitler, or do you hate Hitler?
I guess I hate him.
You hate him, right. Yes,
what's to be achieved by
what's to be achieved by not hating him? A lot is to be achieved when you come into it.
Seems to me to be very closely related to Ka.
No. Oh, no.
Not at all. What is that called?
Hatred is when a person's wickedness has got to be hated. And you've got to hate a wicked person. I can just lay my hands on it. For example, David HaMelech says,
if that man does tshuva, then you stop hating
If he does tshuva, not only do you stop hating him, but you've got to love him. Says David HaMelech, just listen to this. Halo Mesan Echo Hashem Esno, Hashem, those that hate you, don't I hate? Uvisku memecho eskelkate, and those that rise up against you, I quarrel with them. Tachli sinos anesim, with the utmost hatred I've hated them. The oivim ho yuli. They became enemies to me. They were your enemies and they become mine enemies. And David is very proud of this. But Tachli Sino Senesi. Because they are Rishoyim. I must tell you today, we haven't got atheists and we haven't got Rishoyim anymore. The last atheist I had, what a wonderful atheist he was. Pleasure to be with him. He could learn. His name was Berestein.
He could learn?
Yes. But well, that was an atheist. It was a challenge. He used to come to me. He lived across the road. He used to come to me sometimes I've got a question, he asks me if we could please answer him. Sometimes I say, no, Mr. Stein, I can't answer that. He said, you can't answer it. So I said, just a minute. Give me time. He said, how much time do you want? I said, 24 hours. And he looked at his watch and 3:30. I'm sitting at my desk, and from my desk I could see it across the garden to the gate. Exactly 3:30 I heard the gate open and the dog barking. Mr. Stein is there. Take it. That was an atheist. That was an atheist. He knew what he was speaking about.
There are sequels
to that
series of events?
There was a lot of sequels to it. Yes. That was an atheist. It was a pleasure dealing with him. The atheist that I used to get after the he died, poor Mr. Stein died. They wanted me to give him a eulogy at his funeral. And I refused. So it was beautiful. So one person came to me and said, perhaps he'd be Chuba. He was such an atheist that if he did Chuba, I would have known about him. But that is an atheist. When I came to Cape Town once, they asked me to give a lecture at Stellenbosch. I came to Stellenbosch to give a lecture. And the chairman came up to me and said, you know, I wanted to say something to you. And he couldn't. I said, please tell me, what is it? He said, there's one person here. He always gives, when the rabbis come and gives him a hard time, he's an atheist. He's got denied all the place of that. He said, will you be offended? I said, not at all offended. I said, does he ever get offended? He said, no, he doesn't get offended. I said, can I treat him roughly or must I treat him nicely? He said, treat him roughly. Well, you know, I can't treat people roughly. But when he put his question to him, he said to him, Mr. Younger, please tell me, call yourself an atheist. Yes. I said, is that the best you can do? Say, call yourself an atheist. What kind of an atheist are you? And I just finished him off on the spot. You want to know the question he asked me?
Sure.
He said, what kind of a business is this? In Yavitz, not Yontev. Yavitz, Yontev. In Israel, it's not Yontev. You come from Israel here, there you leave it, it's not Yontev. You come by airplane here, you find it is Yontev. What kind of laws are these? You evidently travel by plane. She said, yes. I said, you know, you travel by plane. Yeah, you get in the plane and it's so hot. You get to the other side, it's so cold that you with the cold and then it's still cold. What kind of a world is this? What kind of a world is this? Please give me an answer. He just stood, of course, he had nothing to say. He said, all you can ask. They tell me you're an atheist. An atheist? You don't know what an atheist is. Rishoy. Once upon a time, it used to be Rishoy. The Russia was. Today, he does wrong because he doesn't know. He does wrong because he doesn't know. I stood there, until 40 years ago, he still had a showing. I didn't, I can't forgive myself till today that I was very young and I didn't realize these things, but when the Tehran children came over to Israel, Rabbi Herzog, late Rabbi Herzog, who was great, came and he said, what these people are doing to these children, they 2,000 Orthodox children came and they took them into, the government took them and they put them into Trefa Kibbutzim, and they got them there to make them eat right and to deterrorize them. So I asked, what's the reason for it? He said, it's a political thing. In 20 years time, you know, if these 2,000 children are Orthodox, you know what a power it will be in 20 years time. Nobody believed him. But that's exactly what they did. Afterwards we found out that's exactly what they did. But they did it calculatingly, and they had people there who knew exactly what it was all about. And you had people who learned once upon a time and gave it all up. Those were a showing still. Those were a showing. To be acre, rooted all out, such a hatred to Torah, rooted all out. We will have a land where there would be nothing of it will be there. Rooted all out. In those days, you never saw Yavik in Israel. When you went, never saw Yavik. Nothing. I mean, today it's a different Israel altogether. Today you've got the people who don't know what it is, you see. You haven't got a proper Russia today. Yes, sir. So you must be, be careful not to hate a person. It's never he doesn't know. So you've got a responsibility towards him. Not only aren't you allowed to hate him, you've got to love him, and you've got a responsibility towards him. So, yes, sir.
You just partly answered the first question. One of the things that I'm having a little difficulty with is that hate, when I think of it, is something that is, hate is so strong, it's so consuming that it tends to disfigure the hater, which is one of the problems with it when I think about it. And that's why it would be interesting, maybe as a shiur, perhaps a masar shiur, to discuss how to properly hate so that it doesn't hurt you. And at the same time gets done what needs to be done.
Of course.
Yeah, I'm not going to answer that at this point.
Right. Yeah. You see, there is another psalm. There is another psalm.
Do them on your own time, not on the side this year.
Just let me see. It's Galad. Gitamu chatoim ino oretz ureshoim od einot. That's a prayer that he gave. May chatoim, may sins cease from the earth, and wicked not be wicked people anymore. He doesn't say may sinners cease from the earth. That's not, David doesn't say that. He said may sins cease from the earth, and that there should be no more wicked people. Not that they should die or anything like that. And that is that they should change. That they should become better. That, yes. But for wickedness, wickedness is something that's got to be hated. And if it isn't hated, it's a flaw in the person.
But you separate the act from the person when you hate, because it's hard to change here sometimes and stop hating a person very quickly if they do
tshuva,
for instance, or if you're hating the act.
If you know it's the person is hated, but if he does tshuva, immediately you love that person. I mean, that's not difficult. That is difficult. If you hate him for a personal reason, then it's bad.
So the hate is almost...
Oh, the hate is a tachi here. Dovid Miller says very clearly, he says, "Hello, Mesam Echo Hashem Esno. I hate those who hate you. Uviskova Mecho Eskodet, and those who stand up to undermine you, I quarrel with them. Tachli Simos and Nasim, them I hate with the utmost hatred. Those people that hate Hashem, the person has got nothing in it. It's not, if it is something, does something to me personally, then it's the most dangerous thing to hate. There you can't.
I don't understand hatred.
Yeah, but
there are other things also I don't understand. Probably you also understand. That's why we learn. We learn in order to understand. Of course, look at all these things you've got to learn. Yes.
That hate is such a powerful emotion. Yes. But it seems that once you unleash it, it's hard to bring it back under control.
That complain only if you hate because of something that's been done to you. But if you hate because that person does evil against Hashem, don't forget, of course you've got to be very careful. And not everybody has got the right to exercise this type of hate. If you get a case, it's just unfortunate that he's been doing. Orthodox Jews go and stone cars. Now, I am afraid that a lot of them do it. I'm not allowed to drive on Shabbos, and he is. But he does it. That's no good. This is a very finicky thing. You can only do it. It's only if it's pure it can be done. Otherwise, you dare not touch it. Only if it is pure. But if a person does something personally to you, you can't do that. And this old Gemara unfolds itself like that. Yes?
Sorry, can I ask one other question?
Yes.
I was reading earlier in the week a book by George Gilbert called Wealth and Poverty. And
yes.
He made an interesting point in there about hypocrisy.
Yes.
He said that hypocrisy, the way that he put it, is really the tribute paid by vice to virtue. That, in other words, a hypocrite still recognizes what the standards are, even if he's not living up to them, which, when I started thinking about it, led me to think that there are actually lower levels in hypocrisy, and that someone who doesn't even recognize the standards.
But that's not hypocrisy. That is not hypocrisy. If, for example, a person in public does certain things, and he doesn't, in private he doesn't do it. That's our own face private. Because he's got respect for it, he doesn't do it. The hypocrite is the person who hates it and doesn't believe in it and doesn't want it. But when it pays him, then he does it. So that an individual should have a good opinion of him, to mislead him. But otherwise it's not done in order to mislead. That's not a hypocrite. That's quite right. But all right, he does it. All right. Yes. Omer Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchok Omer Rav Muter Lesanoso. It is permitted to hate him, Shenemar, because it says. Okay, this is already going on to another subject. I think we better dive in Mincha first. And then we go on to our Gemara. But every day between when I come and the time till we have a minion, I'll just finish this little bit.
It's carrying on a little bit. This is what we brought with this. Prophet Chaim quoted this about the Moshe Shemayon and the Enei Yahad.
Oh, I see, yes, that's right. He hates him. He hasn't got the right to tell anybody else what he does because it's a mitzvah to hate him. That he hasn't got the right to do.
Well, if he hates him, then how does he treat him? If a man comes up and talks to him,
we'll get afterwards how he's got to treat
him. Can he tell him that he's wrong?
He must tell him and tell him what it is. He said, look, give the other person a chance to work to do tshuva. That's a chayach es amisecho. But I see all of hate. You've got to see that that you don't do anything wrong whilst you're busy with them. Right. Now, the model that we did last week, I understand there was a little bit of difficulty about the difference in the pshat of Gemara in Rashi and in the Rashbam. So if we just quickly go over the Gemara on Daf Kuf Yud Zion, where the Gemara says, Tonu Rabbonon, where the longest lines begin, the third in the longest line. Tonu Rabbonon. Have you got the place? The Rabbonon learned. Halel ze mi omro. Who said this Halel?
Is that before Amar of Tikva?
the Omer. Now, it's how we are going to learn this piece of Gemara. Let us learn it. Halel Zeh, let us learn it like Rashi. Halel Zeh, mi omro, who said this Halel? Rabbi Rosa Omer Moshe, v'Yisroel omrua, because you omdu ala yom. Moshe and Israel said it when they stood by the sea. Haim omru, that is, they had come out on the other side already. Haim omru lo lona, Hashem lo lonu. The Egyptians were running after them through the sea. So they said to Hashem, don't do this to us, don't allow this to happen to us, that the Egyptians should catch up with us. Meshiva Ruach HaKodesh Ve'omar Lohen. So Ruach HaKodesh answered and said to them, Lemani, Lemani Esech, I will do it. Hashem says, I will do it for my own sake, I will do it. They said, Lo Lonu, Lo Lonu.
We learn last week, we learned it the other way.
This time
it's saying,
for Hashem's sake. For Hashem's sake, that's right.
Are you learning the same way?
Yes, I'm learning it the same way. I'm only making one difference in the way I learned it last week, and you can see why.
Did they say?
Lo lonu Hashem, lo lonu, ki l'shimachot teim kovod al chasdecho. Do it for your glory, Hashem, for your name, do it. And Hashem answers them. I will do it for my sake, he answers them. They were afraid to say, do it for our sake, we haven't got the zchius for it. So, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda said, Yehoshua v'Yisroel omruhu b'shoshu omdu aleim malchei kenoan. That Yehoshua and Yisroel also said it. When they stood on when they were fighting against the the kings of Canaan, and they were overpowered by them, Haim Omru Lo Lonu, they said also the same words, don't do it for our sake, Hashem, Kilishimachot Tein Kovod, give glory for your name, Umeshivo, and the Ruach HaKodesh answered them, Leman Yileman Yeseh. Says further the Braisa Rabbi Elozer Amodoy Omer Devoro Borok Omruhu. Devoro and Borok also said it Beshoshi Omad Alehim Sisro, when Sisro rose up against thee. Haim Omru Lo Lonu, they all said the same thing, not for us, don't do it for our sakes, for your own sake, Beruach HaKodesh Mechiva Vomeres Lohem Lemani Lema Ani Eese. I will do it for my sake. Rabbi Elozer ben Azaria Omer, Chizkiyo v'Sayosu Amruha. Chizkiyo and his companions said it when Sancheirev surrounded the city and he was about to capture the city, they prayed to Hashem, no, Lord, Hashem, don't do it to us that he shall come into the city.
Sancheirev was the general of the Babylonians?
No. He was the Assyrian king.
Sennacherib.
He was the Assyrian king. Haim Omru Lo Lonu, they said, don't do it for it's not for our sake, but Shavas who may Shibo. And Ruach HaKodesh answered, Lamani Lamani Yaseh. Rabbi Akiva Omer Chanyanya Mishor Vazavya Omru Bishoshi Omer Aleim Nebuchadnezzar or Rosho. When they were cast into the fiery furnace, these three, and Haim Omru, they said, Lo Lonu, not for our sake, but for your will. What will the going say? Umeshivo Lamani Lamani Yaseh. Rabbi Yosef Adila Ume Mordechai Esther Omru Mordechai Esther also said it. Beshoshu Omad Aleim Haman or Rosho Haim Omru Lelonu. They said, don't let Haman have his way and kill us all, not for our sakes, but for your sake. It means such a come down for Hashem's name, for Hashem's covenant. Umeshivo Lamani Lamani Yaseh. V'chachomim Omrim Levim Shebeneihem Titnu Lohem LeYisrael. And the Chachomim said it was the Nevi'im amongst them that tiknu lohem leIsrael, that were mesakin for them for Israel, sheyuhu omri masu al kol perek v'perek, that they should say it at each juncture al kol tzor v'tzogo shel adov aleim leIsrael uchelikloche shenigolin omri masu al geuloser, that at each juncture that, and there's an evil may it not come upon Israel when they get delivered from that evil. They instituted that it should be said Hallel. So they were the ones that instituted the Nevi'im Shebenayim, the Nevi'im amongst whom? Amongst the time of Moshe Rabbeinu and the Israel. They were the ones who instituted it. So Moshe and the Bnei Israel said it, in addition to Oz Yoshir Moshe. Well, that's what he asks. If it's a he says, the concluding brocha in the Shema. What is the concluding brocha? Kuval Israel. Do we start with Baruch HaTu Hashem? Mm-hmm. We don't. So why should we start here with Baruch HaTu Hashem? You follow?
Yes.
Why? Because we've got a brocha Shem with the top of the Kroos HaHalel. So we shouldn't start with Baruch HaTu Hashem?
Right.
That's it. So now we've got to find a reason why we start with Baruch HaTu Hashem. So the Yerushalmi answers, because Rabbi Yochanan says that if he says Hallel in Shul, he must make a brocha. Then he doesn't make a Baruch HaTu Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Hashem Yisroel Mitzvot Tzivon Likra or Nigma Nesra Hallel at home.
Right.
So therefore, at home you haven't got that brocha. So therefore, this brocha, if you would have made it without the beginning Baruch HaTu Hashem, would have been without Baruch HaTu Hashem, and it's not Smucha L'Chavetah.
Right.
So we make it under all circumstances that it's Smucha L'Chavetah.
But it still seems a big problem in regarding it as the Chatimah.
Who says that we regard it as the Chatimah?
Isn't that what you just said?
It's the Chatimah in the same as Kohal Yisroel. It begins with a Baruch and it ends with a Baruch. It's a brocha that stands on its own. We've got no difference. The Yerushalmi comes along and asks a question. And the Yerushalmi says, how is it that you say, begin Baruch HaTu Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam? You begin it with a Baruch. It's a Smucha L'Chavata. You've just said a brocha on page 8. You've just said a brocha before the last paragraph on page 8, Baruch HaTu Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Hashem Zishon Vemitz Mitzvah Vitzivon Vitzikrav Yisrah Halayu. But it's not in our Agoda,
right.
But in the Yerushalmi's Agoda it was. So he says, now, since how can you start and read here on page 9, start the brocha Baruch HaTu Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Hashem Golanu Goal Yisrael Hashem. Now why should it start with a Baruch HaTu Hashem? It's near to that brocha. So what do we see from that Yerushalmi? That according to the Yerushalmi they did say Baruch, otherwise it wouldn't be a question. But we go further. So Rabbi Yochanan the Yerushalmi answers as follows. He says, I'll tell you why we say it started with the Baruch HaTu Hashem there. Because if he says and all these others said it, they said the Hallel. That is the way. Now let's just see the Rashi.
We said the Nevi'im were Mesakim.
Yes, the Nevi'im were Mesakim. The Nevi'im in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu.
Now who were those Nevi'im? Moshe Rabbeinu and
the Shirim Zakenim. They were all Nevi'im. Those are all Nevi'im.
Didn't we learn
that
the Kol Yisrael all became
Nevi'im? That was right on afterwards day when they stood already. Yes, but the rest of them, you know, it's easy to become a Novi. The Kumsi is not to become a Novi. The Kumsi is to remain a Novi. That's right.
Yeah.
Become a Novi. Bilam also became a Novi. Remain a Novi. That's the big thing, right? To become a Baal Tshuva is easy. But to remain a Baal Tshuva, that's a difficult thing already. Right. Now, let us do the Rashi. Rashi is Yehoshua v'chol Yisroel omruhu, klomar. That means to say, af Yehoshua v'chol Yisroel omruhu. Also Yeshua and all Israel also said it. They also said it. And that's the way I have learnt it. You follow? That is the way I've learned it.
What is Rashi?
Pardon?
What is Rashi adding?
Rashi.
Yoshua the Fog Israel, or no?
So
we are, you know?
Oh, you didn't have to write it.
Well, that is easy to make this very clever. Up Yoshua. I learned it as Rashi learns it. You follow? That's the way Rashi learns it. It's very simple. And if one doesn't want to look for any trouble, then you stop, then you go further. You don't worry about the Rashbam.
But the only word the Rashi, well, the Rashi's adding the word ah.
Yes, that's the way I said it. Who said it? The Brisa says, Halil there, me Omra. Who says this Halil? So Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Loza says, Moshe Yisroel said it. Rabbi Yehuda says, and Yeshua and the Bnei Yisroel also said it. Uh-huh. And they also said it, and they also said
so
it.
That's the ask.
That's the ask.
Yeah,
but it goes on everybody. Yes. So now, what I would last time, without kidding you, I learned it according to the Rashbam. Now, just look what the Rashbam says. The Rashbam says, Yeshua b'chol Yisrael omruah, klomar, af Yisrael Yeshua omruah.
It's right in the middle of the thing.
Got it?
Right where it says Tehillah.
Have you got a place? Just give it to me. So he says, also Israel and Yeshua said it. V'chein pirish Rabbeinu. And that is the way Rabbeinu explains it. And yeah, Rabbeinu means Rashi. Says that I bumble nearly. It doesn't appeal to me. She imkayin v'kulon ato tzorich lafarish kayin. Then by all of them you've got to say. And also Chizkiyahu said it, and also Mordechai and Esther said it. You've got to say it to say it. They all, each one also said it. The intain, if so, may be Nayu, Uvein Chachomim She'ovim Nevim Shemneyam Ru. What is different from them, and what did the Chachomim add when they said the Nevim Shemneyam Omru? The Osi Lameimer, and and it comes to tell us the chol hanida moron le'el omruhu also roson sharetik nu nevim lechach, that all these said it because the nevim explained the nevim told it to them like that. That is the way the nevim told it like that. Says the Rashbam, I don't like that. Because it works out, so what does the Chachomim add to it? What do they add to it? You said Moshe and Israel said it. And then, so it was composed then. Then afterwards Yeshua also said it, and they also said it, and they also said it. So what does the Chachomim add to it?
Subsequent people who said it specifically because they were misakim, not because.
Well, that is the way I learned the Rashi. Uh-huh. That is the way I learned the Rashi, but the Rashbam doesn't take it. And it's for a good reason he doesn't take it. Because if Moshe B'nai Israel said it, then that is already the composition. That is already. Anyway. Elo, but says the Rashbam, kol echod min ha-tanoim hochi kim le-merave. Each one of these tanoim, this is the way he received it from his teacher. So, now I'll go through the same piece of Gemara and I learn it the way the Rashbam learns it. Back again to the text. Ton the Rabbonon le. Halel ze mi omro. This Halel, who composed it? That's the way the Rashbam learns. Not who said it. Who composed it? Rabbi Le'ozer Omer Moshe B'Yisrael Omru B'Shoshi Omdu Alayom Haim Omru Le'lona Hashem Le'lona Beshiva Ruach HaKadosh Omru Elamani Elamani Yese Rabbi Yehuda Omer Yehoshua B'Yisrael Omru B'Shoshi Omdu Alayim Alkei Noan Haim Omru Le'lona Beshiva Rabbi Le'ozer Omer Joy Omer Devoro Boruch Omru B'Shoshi Omdu Alayim Sisro Haim Omru Ruach HaKadosh Beshiva Vameres Lohim Elamani Elamani Yese Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer Chizkov Yisayot Omru Bishor Shomad Aleim Sarcheder Heim Omru Leilonu Meshiva Rabbi Akiva Omer Chananya Mishor Vezariah Omru Bishor Shomad Aleim Nebuchadnezzar Rosha Heim Omru Leilonu Meshiva Rabbi Yosef Gila Mimoto Rabbi Esther Omru Bishor Shomad Aleim Homen Rosha Heim Omru Leilonu Umeshiva The Chachomim Omrim and the Chachomim say Nevim shebenayim tiknu loy Yisrael shiyu omri marzal kod. That it was the Nevim amongst the Bnei Yisrael that were masakim it. They were the ones that composed it, not Moshe. But the Nevim were the ones who composed it. And they composed it that these people should say it.
So is the Rambam, is the Rambam learning that these different Tanayim are citing and they received as the people who composed it?
They received, they're not the people who composed it. The Rashbam learns that each Tana gives another person who composed it. The Chachomim only, okay. The Chachomim say that the Nevi'im composed it. And they were the ones that mistaken that Israel should say it.
Okay.
You can say that the Nevi'im were mistaken that they should say it.
Well, we're going to learn the Rashbam that way. And how can Rabbi Akiva say that Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah composed it when it's written down in Tehillim?
Yes.
Because that comes after Tehillim.
Yes, but it came down to us as it is, only from the time of Ezra.
But it was expanded. Tehillim only came down in written form from the time of Ezra.
The way we have got it is from the time of Ezra.
But Baal Peh was existed before that.
No, it was always in Ksav. It was always in Kassav. We came to see other things also with the different
years. It wasn't written until the time of Ezra, you're
saying? There were some, these Tehillim were in existence all the time. Mm-hmm. For example, Tefillah L'Moshe was in existence from the time of Moshe. Miz Moshe L'Yom HaShabbos possibly was in existence from the time of Ordo-Moshe. We don't know. But there were lots of people who composed the Tehillim and it was kept in separate parts. And afterwards it was put together.
And when was it put together? Only in the time of Ezra?
We don't know. But the one who says that Mordechai Esther Omru B'Shor Shomad Aleim Omer Rosho, another thing can
so be. So it's quite possible that Yirmiyahu, for example, did not have a sefer to him.
Not in the form that we have it afterwards. That is possible.
Right.
That is possible, not in the form that we have, but we don't know. We're going to see some other things later. We don't know exactly how it was. You know, the school of the...
excuse me, just one second.
Yes.
But then still, if even that being the case, wouldn't Rabbi Akiva have to say that this part of the hollow then was not composed by David HaMelech? It was composed by...
It's very difficult to say. Say you're right because we can't get the machlokes by Shammai Beis Hillel. Till when they said it in the Agudah base. Shammai Beis Hillel was before the time of Rabbi Akiva. But that isn't the point. But by Shammai Beis Hillel are still after the time of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. They're after that time. And they said, yeah, this is a part that was introduced. The only thing is, you see, this paragraph, it's speaking only about this paragraph. It's not speaking about the whole Halakha.
But
right,
but that's from Tehillim.
Yes.
I mean, and everyone accepts that that's from Tehillim.
That's right. It's only about this paragraph that it is speaking.
Okay.
And it is also possible that Dovid said it. It is also possible, but they did it as a new composition. They felt it as if it just left to them. It's both ways it can go. I must tell you, I prefer Rashi's. I prefer Rashi's shot of learning it. It's and then in the air that these people said that it works out all right. The Rosh family is not very fond of it. All right?
Can we go out?
Now, yes?
Your son has learned that the tefillin was originally a cherub on the Chumash, and that the structure through the 150 tefillin were broken up 30, 30, and 30.
Yes.
So if that was David HaMelech's cherub, how could the form of the 30, 30, 30, for example, have been created by Ezra? And that we're not sure that it came from David, because I would imagine that the paper and the structure of it would have to have come from the person who composed it in order to get the full meaning of the paper.
Not that he took 30 and he says this is for gracious, and this 30, it doesn't work like that. But afterwards, when you look at this, then you can see this is the way it works out. But there may have been 20. And even all the 30 may not completely be on the whole of it. The Vilna Gaon said that in the one word, gracious, there is the whole of the Torah. Just in the one word, gracious. So when he said that one of the Talmidim said, where is Pidyon of any gracious? So he said, without batting an eyelid, just like that. He said, for no reason after sloping your teeth. In the one word, gracious. But he could do that with anything in the Torah. He would have told it, he would have done it with any word. You follow?
I'm not sure quite how it's.
Say that. The Vilna Gaon says, gracious in good one word, gracious, to find the whole of the Torah. You ask me, you tell me. But I don't believe that he had that tradition. I don't believe that he sat down and he worked out everyone. That's enough for him. He goes on. Somebody asks him, he answers it. His mind worked, he got it immediately. You follow? Yeah, with David, you can't say, I gave you the example of language. We speak English. Okay. We've got a little girl, she's 5 or 6 years old, she comes to California, and in a few days' time she speaks English. And she speaks it correctly. And she doesn't know any grammar. And she uses the correct number, and she uses the correct tense, and she uses the correct pronouns. Where did she get it? You say that, well, she studied the English grammar very quickly. Never looked at the English grammar. Doesn't know what it means. But it's there. The grammar is there. When you look back over it, you see, this is a Pesach on the whole of the Torah. But not that David HaMelech sat down and he said, now I'm going to write a Pesach on the Torah. That's not. And he didn't write it. Those are the ideas that he got. But it's very difficult to find that where it is, a Pesach. You take the first Psalm, where is it a Pesach on the Torah? If you take the 104th Psalm, that's a Pesach on the Torah. A little for some is a Pesach on Bereshit.
So then you're saying that the structure itself may not necessarily have an
integration. One just doesn't know what we know. I'm going to, since you said that, I hope I'll get as far as that today. I'll show you even further how it goes, how intricate it all is. Be able to show you that a little bit later.
Rabbi
Lassen, yes.
Following last question, I have a question left over from last week.
What is that?
If a kiddush is allowed because it allows for creativity and some elements of originality, what separates Tehillim Mishlei from, say, a kiddush of Rav Yisroel Salanter or any modern person? How is that? Is that any less of a kiddush on the Torah kids. Yeah. Is it anything more? Is it per se Torah to heal in the Mishlei compared to a Kiddush that follows it? Or is to heal in the Mishlei simply an original idea and a creative idea that
you see, John, I'm not quite sure that I understand you, but from my answer you will be able to guide me, tell me what you are, if I understand you. Let me put it to you this way. Columbus discovered America. Charles, this was a very great thing. Look at this. Gave Jews a chance where to be. He wouldn't have been there in America otherwise. Yeshivas here, learned here, congregation here. America supports Eretz Yisrael, America supports Torah elsewhere. Just look what it says. Columbus discovered America. Did he really discover it? Wasn't America there before? Newton discovered gravity. And before Newton, there was no gravity. No gravity at all. Not only did he discover it, but he worked out exactly the whole, the equations that are connected with gravity. He could work out. He could even work out what the gravity was on the moon. Work it out before you even come to the moon. Now, you must understand, is it an invention or is it a discovery?
Now, your son has presented the case to us that the Achilles are there to remind us, they were written to remind us of certain elements of Torah Shabbat which were known but were becoming forgotten.
That can be that they were reward. But I would say all this is, the Chaim Brisker makes a hit. Creates a Kiddush. It's the same type of Kiddush Lahavdil that Newton did when he worked out the equation for gravity. Is it an equation you call it?
GMMEO, right?
It's an equation. Is that an equation or a formula?
Formula.
A formula. So he works out the formula. It's a very great thing. And look at the use you can do with it. But it doesn't mean to say that it wasn't in existence. Of course it was in existence. The whole of the Torah Shebarpe that is Alot Alamotim Sinai. The Torah Shebarpe which are explanations, these are explanations which Hashem gave to Moshe Rabbeinu and he gave them. Then there are things which, but we can work out ourselves. There are things which we have to work out ourselves. And my wife asked me a question this morning in San Jose. She said, how do I explain that something is not in the Torah and the Rabbonon came and make a law about it? They say they make a new law. And this law, I explained, has got all the force of a Torah law. How do you explain that? The way it works is that the Torah gave them that authority, which I've shown to you already, gave them that authority. But that authority is not a permission. That authority is an obligation. It is your obligation to see what can result out of something. What can result out of it? It's your obligation to see and to prevent it. And you have got to find a way to prevent it. You're the ones that's got to find a way to prevent. Now, your business on your own, carry on. But it's all there. And that is the same with Michelin, that's the same with all these things. The only thing that comes out today, what we are more occupied, our Chidushi is to understand a Rashbor or a Ram, to understand it. To understand, we find a Chiddush to understand it. And then we understand what he said. But the right from the wrong didn't think it was chokmah, he didn't think naturally. I know it's difficult to understand, but am I making it in simpler terms?
Well, from what you said, I would gather then that the particulars and basically the secrets by David and Solomon were, in fact, fall into the realm of original or creative ideas,
and
nevertheless trace themselves
yes,
back.
Yes, of course, that's right. Of course, it's creative ideas. You see, there's something that is simple. And once upon a time, I had to deal with a young man. He came through me with a bar of sugar. But his wife was leading him a different type of life. And he thought his wife was getting along with him all the time. And then he was living 3 miles from Shul. And then he bought a new house. 3 1/4 miles from Shul. So he came to tell him that he's going to buy that negotiating for the house. I said, John, you know you're going to be further away from Shul. See, it's not really further away. There's another way to go. It's not further away. I knew it was 3 1/4 miles because I'm making it out. I wanted to know. It's not further away. It was not further away. Is it nearer? He said, no, I wouldn't say it's nearer, but it's the same distance. 3 miles. I said, John, tell me the truth. Why did you buy this house? He said, it's a street. You know, he used to do it. I said, didn't you buy that house in order to be further from you? Oh, he was in the shop that I didn't even think that. I said, didn't your wife want that house before the first one? I had to say something to him. Oh, no. Oh no, it's just, it's not more, and I'll be accused just as often as you've got little children. How you think you walk to shoe? 3 1/2 miles away. No, it's 3 miles. 3 miles away. How you think you walk to shoe? I saw I couldn't do anything to him. Now, I understood immediately what it was. I said, John, I want you to know that this is the beginning of the end. Well, he was very upset. Took about 4 years. And it's spent to the end. Now, you think I'm a novice? You think I've got Ruach HaKodesh? You can understand it. I felt it my responsibility to explain to him.
It's got a far from you.
Yeah, it's pretty simple. Pretty nice. That was my chiddush. Your life, my chiddush is, you have started, this is the beginning of the end. The interesting thing is, he used to tell a friend, how foolish I am to say that thing. And his friend, last night, why did I bring it up? Last night his friend came to say, he said, how did you know that? How did you know it? Very simple. It's difficult under the best of circumstances, it's difficult to keep. But I saw that this was a means here, getting further away from it. Mustn't be too near. But those are not chidushi. Yes.
Please help my understanding. The mitzvah of Tel Tofiach et Amitefah.
Yes.
With you, your neighbor, I thought we don't say that unless he's willing to. If you think the person is amenable to it.
I had to try my best. I thought it was happening. I had to try my best. I mean, this person's got a difficulty that some people have got that difficulty. He hears what suits him. And what doesn't suit him, he doesn't hear. Although he has the good grace to come and say to me, there was something else that happened afterwards. So you're going to have trouble with this one day. had the good grace to come and say to me, he said, you know, you predicted this 3 years ago, you said that I'm going to, this is going to happen. Did my very best. I showed him a lot of sympathy, must have shown him a lot of sympathy. But I can see exactly where we are going. It happens, these things happen. Please let us go on. Now, says the Gemara, Omar Rav Chisto, said Rav Chisto, Haleluko Sof Pirko. Rabo Baravunu Omar Haleluko Rish Pirko. So what he is saying now is, if you take, let us take the Psalms, it says here, for example, after Ashrei, Ashrei is not a very good example, but the first Psalm after Ashrei begins with Haleluko. Now, Ashrei ends with Tehillas Hashem Yedabehinu Vreichu Boshchev Gotel Olam Bo'ed. That is where Ashrei ends. The next verse doesn't belong to Ashrei. So then there is a Haleluko. Rav Chisto said Haleluko Sof Pirko. Haleluko belongs to Tehillas Hashem Yedabehinu Vreichu Boshchev Gotel Olam Bo'ed. Haleluko. You follow? It's not a good example. It's not, you'll see soon why it's not as good. Then Hallelujah belongs to the next song. So Omer Rav Chisto Haleluko Sof Pirko. Rabo Barabuno Omer Haleluko Rish Pirko. He says the Haleluko belongs to the next chapter.
It's only Ashrei.
This, no, this is any Haleluko in the Book of Psalms. Any Haleluko in the Book of Psalms.
But we say it twice.
Well, not always.
No, in these,
in these, but if you look here, how does it work out here? Yeah, it doesn't. Haleluko, Hallelujah, and it ends Haleluko, but say Israel hasn't got a Haleluko.
The question is where, which?
So does Haleluko come? This is the better one. Does Haleluko come? Rav Chisto says that Eima Bonim Smeicho. Full stop, period. Then B'tzeis Yisrael begins, Haleluko B'tzeis Yisrael. Rabo Baravuna says no. It's Eva Bonis Meicho Haleluko, period. B'tzeis Yisrael is the beginning of the next one. You follow? That is the machlokas. Between Rav Chisto says Haleluko belongs to the end of the Rabo Baravuna Omer Haleluko Rish Pirka. They're speaking about any song. Any song.
What exactly is the flow that now brings them to this on the dock? We just finished with
we're discussing Hallel.
Uh-huh.
We're discussing Hallel. And Hallel consists of praise. And how do we come to praise? Because when it says that there is, how does it start here? That the previous Mishnah brought that you say, Baruch Atu Hashem Goal Israel, and you say Hallel, and the Hallel is part of it. After Goal Israel, we go on to the Hallel.
Okay.